UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Before we get to Steve's tease comment of the day, his hot take.
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Hot take?
Nah, I don't do that.
So, Georgia Tech and Bryant Sports Center. Georgia Tech being investigated for violations of taking recruits to strip clubs.
Yes. Said recruit, Wendell Carter.
How do you handle it, Steve?
Jared Jack, too. That was a while ago.
Well, no. Jared Jack took Wendell Carter.
Oh, he was the guy.
Yeah. He was the booster that took Wendell Carter.
Former player booster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. I mean, Wendell Carter was also on the ledger. You know, took some money from an agent, but that kind of went away.
ASM Sports.
But again, I mean, like I said, he's probably like Zion. I know Kansas was going to pay him $200,000, but the Duke education's.
The Georgia Tech education is so valuable.
No, the Duke, because Wendell Carter ended up at Duke.
Yeah.
So all these other guys, all these Duke's got all these guys that were going, they were going to take stuff, and they did do stuff at other schools.
So Wendell Carter,
but not at Duke.
His violations are not going to follow him from Georgia Tech to Duke.
No, you punished Georgia Tech.
Because nobody cares about Georgia Tech and Pastner, who's getting ready to get fired.
Just like LSU today, just decided. They released a statement. They said, look, Javonte Smart, he talked to us. He talked to the NCAA. He's good to play.
Wait. The LSU kid?
Yeah.
The Smart situation where the coach was fired or the coach suspended. Is suspended for?
Yeah.
The one he said he was mad at the Smart family because he gave him a good offer?
Says LSU says he fully cooperated and participated in a joint inquiry with the LSU or with LSU and the NCAA. He is good to go. He will be playing today when they tip off.
And he's going to be playing today
in
the conference tournament.
Yeah.
It's all good. Okay, so help my team out, Steve. Have the uncomfortable conversation that you almost had headed into break.
Okay, we can do that. Watching the last few games, I've been a little critical of one player, and that's Quan Four. In the ACC tournament, I'll just go there. I could back this up, but I'm not trying to poo-poo on
anybody.
Quan Four. Because we need Quan Four to play. I'm not saying that. But Quan Four in the ACC tournament in two games had 2 points, one rebound, one assist. In two games. My thing is right now, and I can be talked off this one or debated with this one, and I'm fine with it. You can debate me that you can say, well, we need this off the bench or various. But I think from what I've watched over the last couple of weeks, I think it's time to insert Darius in for Quan. Because Darius is giving you everything and more. Okay, he's giving you everything Kwan gives you. What does Kwan give you right now? Defensive effort. I feel like that Kwan doesn't necessarily mess up his assignment.
You know what, Steve? We talked about this. Darius is giving you more defensively.
I agree. That's
100%. No. Let me elaborate. Darius Perry is giving you more defensively, not because of what Darius Perry does. Darius Perry is a natural energizer to the rest of the team. He's a better defender than Kwan Four, and he holds his team more accountable. You and I have looked at Kwan Four, and we see his demeanor is dog inside. Darius is dog inside and out. Darius will look at someone else. He's confrontational. It's confrontational in a good way. He holds accountable. He doesn't mind going up to somebody's face and saying, "You're wrong. Do better. Do some." Kwan Four is kind of like, "I'm gonna do my job to the best of my ability, and I'm gonna get the ball." Sometimes you need, when Jordan Ward is balling, or one of these other players are balling, you need Kwan. You needed Kwan Four while everybody was finding their way.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, what Darius can bring, tempo, defense, accountability defense, a lot more minutes have got to go to Darius Perry.
I think so. And that's defensively. Offensively, it's not even on the same hemisphere at this point. Darius is becoming a legitimate threat.
Are Darius's bad shots enough to make you keep Kwan Four?
Because
there's something to be said about Kwan Four not taking bad shots.
Well, he doesn't. But there's also something to be said when I say he's not even he's not taking any shots.
No, and I agree with that, because my biggest problem with Kristen Cunningham is you can't be on my floor if you're not going to attack the basket.
Yeah.
I cannot watch other guards stare at off the ball, stare at everything else. I cannot watch you in transition not be able to get the freelance buckets as a point guard.
Yeah.
I can't watch, okay, everybody runs the same play at the end of the shot clock. 1-4 low isolation. Like,
yeah.
Every team has a point guard. Like, okay, you might run a pick and roll. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But every team is comfortable running. They should be comfortable. Not every team is comfortable. A Division I team has a starting point guard who can take a man off the dribble and get into the lane. Right? The criticism that hurts me the most, the player that I, my player mentality, you can't be under 6'3" and not be able to just get around somebody. I mean, listen, defense can make a stop every once in a while and stop you from getting into the lane.
Sure.
But for the most part, at this level, if you can't give your guy one or two across, you know, a 1-2 cross, a hesitation and get in the lane, That's crippling.
No, it is. But Texter like brings up a point here and says, okay, if Darius starts, who gives CeCe a blow? But here's my problem, or not my problem. Here would be my answer to that. A couple things. One thing is, you may only play 2 or 3 games from here on out. You're gonna have to play. I mean, we're kind of coming down the stretch here. Like, you're gonna have to play. The other thing is, I think the rotations just stay the same. I mean, you basically are taking Kwan, Ryan, Darius, yes, Cunningham right now, and you're just fun, you know, you're mixing them up.
Listen, here's what they do.
So I don't think a lot changes.
But here's what they do already. Mm-hmm. When they bring Darius in, they leave Kristen in for like a minute, you know, a play or two,
right,
to get Darius and adjusted to taking a point guard
exactly
spot. Yeah. So here's the thing. If you start Darius, Kwan, or Darius, Kristen, and your normal starters, you're still coming in with Ryan and VJ.
Yeah, see, I agree.
So Ryan can come in for Darius. Ryan can come in for Kristen.
Right.
You still have you're either going to have Kristen and Ryan, or, you know, either way you're going to have, or you bring in VJ. Now you got Kristen, VJ, You know?
I kind of like the thought of how does it change our rotation if Kwan comes off the bench? How does it change his game? He started playing. How did he earn the starting spot?
Coming in.
He started coming off the bench, and he started making plays where we were like, man.
He actually hit a couple big buckets coming.
Yeah, and we started to say, okay, maybe, you know, so I'm like, I just think that it may be time to dip back a little bit into that well, switch a little bit up. There's not a lot you can switch up at this point, with the season. And I would be okay if Max said, look, it's what we've been doing. You know, I like to start. I'm just, okay. All right, cool.
Look, well, let me ask you this. You start making that move this late in the season. You lose your seniors. You lose Christian. You lose Kwan.
No, I don't think so.
They feel like coach is making a long-term transition.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think listening to
the – I mean, I'm not saying that happens. I'm saying does that idea get in their head?
No, I don't think so. I think if you look Kwan in the face right now, it's is Darius outplaying you. I mean, can you honestly – you've been playing college basketball for – 5 years now. This year, I mean, playing for four. You've been in college basketball for 5 years. You think he's outplaying you right now? I mean, like and Kwan said it. Kwan stepped right up on that podium before and said, "Look, I'm here to win." Like, you know, I mean, he said it without saying it. I'm not going to the NBA. Okay, I've got to look for other options to play after this. I'm here to win in the NCAA tournament.
He has to dunk that basketball.
It would have been one of the highlight dunks of the year if he'd have got it. I don't think you lose seniors. I don't think anything like that. I think it would be a solid move to make. And I think you gain Darius a little bit. Darius has done enough over the last couple games to make me think, I'm not saying he will, but it's creeped into my head. Maybe he can run the team next year with an off season. I mean, Maybe. I mean, he is a sophomore. Like, maybe he can with an offseason work.
Will his bad shots get you down 10-2?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Will Wade wants to resume coaching at LSU?
Well, of course.
Has yet to deny any wrongdoing.
As he should. Everybody that watched Louisville learned. you deny till the end of the day. So I don't know. I just think that
8150, 93.9. I got to get back to this phone lines. Eric, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Hey, guys. All right, I just wanted to give you my thoughts on last night's game. As far as how we played overall, I think we played probably a B. You know, maybe B plus level, probably B level last night overall. The two biggest things I think that was the problem, and it's not in every single game, but I feel like it's enough that if we could fix these two problems, that we would be a lot better. I think that Stephen Enoch cannot be such a liability on defense, because it was like he only played, 13 minutes? And it seemed like every time he was in there, even when he'd score some, he would just give it up on the other end. They would even switch around running their motion to get onto Steven so that they could score. And it was like when Malik was in there, that didn't happen near as much. So if we could just get Steven to play better defense and then our shot selection. You know, I know we need to take threes. I know to win, you know, games against really, really good teams, then we got to hit some of those threes that we took. Like Ryan, you know, he hit two of those threes that he took, or if he would have just taken some of them that he didn't take early on. I understand we have to do that, but when you settle for like 8-9 threes in a row, whatever it was during that stretch, and you hit like one and you don't stop North Carolina going on the other end, that's what gets you down in a 12-point hole. If we could just get Steven playing better defense and just take good shots. Like, I feel like the shots that we took, a lot of them from three during that stretch, were just shots that you could just dribble down and take pretty much any time.
Right.
And that's a big problem. The other thing that I noticed was B.J. King, when he got in there and actually went up and he kind of contorted his body and he got there was a foul and he put it up off the backboard and made it. I was watching, I was like, hey, B.J. King looks like he belongs out there with these North Carolina players. And you kind of forget, like, he's 6'6". He's a big dude. He's got skills. But it's been so long since you've seen him doing it. That was something I noticed in my eye. I was like, man, B.J. King looks like he belongs to be out there with all these North Carolina-type players with the athleticism and how big he is. And maybe he's just realizing that. I don't know. Maybe that's where his confidence in playing better is coming from. But, guys, I'm glad we're getting out of ACC play. I'm ready to play some teams that aren't as good as Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, whatnot, and see how we can fare. You know, we get a decent bracket, we make it Sweet 16, Elite 8. You know, just depends on what we get. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
No, absolutely. I appreciate the call. It's very frustrating when you say, I need a good draw to make a run.
Yeah, but I mean, we knew that's where we were all year. I mean, we're not one of the teams. But let me say this. I think there may be Virginia, Duke, North Carolina, we'll say Kentucky.
Gonzaga.
No. Gonzaga can't say that.
You're right.
I'm not allowed to talk about Gonzaga. That's fair. But then maybe a Tennessee or a – I don't even know if Tennessee can say it. I'll go with those four teams are probably the only
teams. Put Tennessee in there.
Okay, I'll put Tennessee in there for it. Those are the only teams right now that can say, dude, it don't matter the draw. I mean, we're going – when we play, somebody's going to have to play better than us to beat us. Everybody else is like, yeah, it's the draw. It's we need to get in a place where we can win the game. I mean, we need to get put. Louisville, I think, needs to get put to have any chance at all to make a Final Four or an Elite Eight or something like that. Has to come out of the West. It just has to. Now, you can make a Sweet 16 somewhere else.
Everybody's dying to get to the West.
I mean, should be.
Everybody in college basketball is dying to get to the West.
You should be. I mean, I am. And I think when you look at that bracket out there, I mean, you're going to get Gonzaga, you're going to get LSU or Houston, somebody like that. And all those teams can beat Louisville, but Louisville can beat all those teams. So I don't think that that's a negative statement to make going into it this year.
Eric brought up something we've kind of talked about. It. Is the only difference between our wins and our losses like this North Carolina one? Ryan McMahon goes 3-for-4 instead of 1-for-5.
As far as?
Ryan missed some wide open looks.
No, he did.
He missed 9 points.
He did, yeah.
Of wide open looks. You cut it. You got it 33. You got it 30. You know, you got it close.
Didn't he? He took a three, I think, when it was either 6 or 4 or something. I mean, that would have cut it. I mean, that changes the game.
Ryan goes 3-for-5.
Yeah. Yeah, it changes the game. You may still lose.
And you're stretching them out.
But you lose down the stretch. Yeah, no, because that changes the game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, could it be something as simple as...
Could be, yeah.
Ryan hits a couple of those. Jordan. And let's give Jordan his credit, too.
Oh, yeah,
He did go to the basket and pick up some fouls.
No, they played good on Jordan last night. Like that
they played physical.
They did. They played physical. I mean, they did a good job. I mean,
when Jordan got that foul called for him, did you see just the way they were bumping him when he puts the ball on the ground? It's like, but you want to say, Jordan, that's not a foul, though.
Yeah. No, I agree.
That's not a foul.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I heard maybe in post game he was a little aggravated, and that's fine. But, I mean, you know, no, you're the star. They're going to hold you. They're going to grab you. I grabbed the crotch of Jared Carter's shorts for, you know, 30-some minutes.
He should have busted you in your mouth.
He did. He grabbed me by the back of the jersey and slammed me on the ground. And I mean, I was a 6'2", 6'3", 260-pound dude. So that was going to play Division I football.
And you asked the referee for the foul.
No. I kind of looked at him, and he was like, dude, no. I'm like, all right, fair enough. Fair enough. He's got 2 points right now. Fair enough. But I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Cam Johnson's a guy. I mean, he's a 6'9", 6'8" guy. They just played well. So Jordan, yes, Jordan got 7 points. It happens. I mean, last night it was a fine line, I think, last night. I'm not going to say – between you winning and losing, but there's a fine line in that game going down to the final 2 minutes. That margin was very close, I think.
With Ryan?
Well, with a few things.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but that's one of them.
Add Ryan, tougher inside play? How do you think we did inside? We rebounded well.
No, I thought defensively. They are the best rebounding team in America.
They let Luke May get away with some pushes too.
Well, that's because they come in with a reputation of being a great rebounding team. But they do crash. I mean, they crash. Like they crash the board as hard as you're going to see.
I thought we did a good job.
And I thought we did a good job. I thought we corralled the ball when it come to us. Rarely last night did a ball touch our guys' hands and we not get the board.
VJ had one.
Sure.
Went out of bounds.
But Carolina had a couple. And they're a good rebounding team.
I don't ever notice them making mistakes.
Of course not. Yeah, but our bigs, I thought Steve and Malik, when the ball touched their hands, they pulled it down.
Are you going to go crazy with Malik covering up the ball?
No, that's Steve.
On one? Uh-uh. Listen, this is a day one, a true, true day one.
Okay.
I've been waiting on this call for 3 years.
I'm here for it.
Approximately 3 years. Joining me, a true, true day one, Sheroyd. How's it going, my man?
Man, what's up, Marcus? How you been?
Man, I've been real good. You know I've been waiting on this call. I know you knew you had to call in eventually. Now, listen, what has been driving you crazy? What have I been seeing you rant about on the internet about this basketball team?
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? Where do you want me to start?
Listen, Sheroyd, this is your show right now, bro.
Hey, look, first off, I'm glad Nor hit the game like he had last night because I think that means he's going to come back. He needs to get stronger. Ashley Williams was guarding him, and Cam Johnson wasn't guarding him. Williams is 6'4", Nor is 6'7"-ish, so he should have took him in the post. I think four gives us absolutely nothing. He needs to sit the bench. I agree that Perry needs to start. But, okay, the guy from SMU. I can't call his name.
Akoya Gal.
Yeah. He hasn't touched the floor all year. Isn't he a fifth-year senior?
Seven-year senior, I think.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and if you look at it, North Carolina, they didn't have nobody over 6'9", so all the switching was killing us, especially when Enoch was out there. I mean, the Williams, he helped us, but we needed to go smaller to match up with North Carolina's speed. That's just my opinion. So, but, you know, I don't know, man. I'm glad I got the call in, man. I've been waiting on this.
So what do you think following this team from the beginning of the year now? Like, where have you seen the most improvement, and where have you been kind of disappointed with the improvement?
Well, you know, the Duke game, man, I swear. Oh, man. I didn't watch SportsCenter for a whole week, man. But, you know. But I think they improved as far as they playing hard. They play, you know, they playing for the front, you know, for Louisville. I agree that they've been playing harder with that. But like y'all said, man, just some of the little miscues on defense drives me insane, insane. But I think we can make a run, man. It's just the matchup. I didn't think Mac did a good job of substituting last night. I don't. I mean, I would like to see VJ, Sutton, and Nor in the game. It's just my opinion. Sometimes, especially last night against North Carolina. But, you know, we'll see how the tournament goes. But, you know, I'm ready, though.
Listen, Sheroyd, this is what I wanted you to do. While you're on air, I'm sure everybody's a little curious right now. Give everybody either a story about, you know, where do you know me from, or just a story about me from back in the day.
Oh, man, you know what? Hey, it breaks my heart, man. I knew you was an NBA product. And, I remember the one time we was out and we was shooting basketball and we played a little game and I actually beat you. Hey, I never got within 30 points after that one day. Oh, man. Hey, we had some good times at the Ville, though, some great times.
Listen, one more question before I get you out. Tell me, listen, I do enjoy, you know, reading your opinions because I know you're a really detailed person when it comes to your sports. I knew you kind of got out of the coaching thing. Listen, do you have any plans on getting back into the youth coaching at all?
Man, I want to. I mean, right now it's hard. They not letting me in. But, you know, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and she done fell in love with basketball. So, you know, we're going to work hard this summer to do it. But, yeah, I'll be back. I know I'll be back. I love it too much.
Absolutely. Listen, Sheroyd, I'm going to get you a message, man. We're going to get up real soon.
Hey, I'll be in the Ville this evening.
Ah, okay. Get with me. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely getting with you.
Later.
Sheroy Cosby. Listen, you can hear by his opinion, right?
Right.
Can you imagine what talking to that guy is like after you've played a bad game and that's your friend?
Oh, man.
And he's like, dude, I mean, I'm going to keep it real. Like, you was looking weak out there today. Right? Like, he was just, listen, man, coach, man, he was right when he put you on the bench, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he'll give you your props.
Yeah.
But when you stink it up, he'll
let you know. It's always good to have a friend like that, though. You know?
Right.
You know, I will say, like, Johnson and Williams split on Moore. He was guarding Moore. But Kenny Williams is one of the best defenders in the ACC, too. So.
They're both good. They're good, decent man. Little defenders.
That's,
on them.
That's funny, though. He beat you?
Yeah.
What happened?
Maybe a little something. Little, cut him a little slack a little bit.
Okay,
something.
Fair
beat
enough.
Beat me, beat me.
I don't know. Sounds like you either win or lose.
Eve J, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man. You there?
HJ?
Yep, Jay, fire away.
Oh, what's going on, guys? I know it's middays with Marcus Maven, but I'm out in California. I'm from Louisville, and I listen to you guys every morning.
Awesome,
morning,
man.
Marcus Maven.
I was going to say, mornings then.
Yes, sir. On my way to work right now. Just want to hit you guys with a couple Russ Smith parallel predictions here. Mm. I got Jordan Norwell. I'm watching a game yesterday. I see him hit a bunch of great shots. Our offense runs through him. You know, our team's a little, you know, not great offensively. He makes some shots, but then he also takes a lot of questionable shots. I'm going to compare him right now to Russ Smith, sophomore Russ Smith. And then I'm also going to take – this is my golden prediction hope, big hope in the sky. I'm seeing right now Kristen Cunningham fouling out of the NCAA tournament game, 5 minutes left. And we have to put in Darius. Darius runs the point. We make the comeback. We're in the Elite Eight now. We're in the Final Four, hopefully something. But just that Russ Smith parallel from 2012. You guys are killing it. Keep doing your thing. So hyped for Selection Sunday this year. Such a different feeling from last year. Not being in it, being another part of it again is awesome. Thanks, guys.
Now, listen, I appreciate the call. You know what? I will tell you this. As agitated as I've been for the last 16 hours, give or take, probably 12, as agitated as I've been, when somebody says something like, yeah, the Russ transition between his sophomore and junior year, I'm like, Jordan is a sophomore.
Yeah.
With a lot of potential.
Yeah.
We all agree, in hindsight, Russ Smith probably should have went to the league after his junior year.
Yeah, I think so. In hindsight,
Russ Smith exploded his junior year.
Yeah, even though he had a heck of a senior year.
He had a heck of a senior year, but his explosion came his junior year.
Yeah.
Darius Perry is a sophomore. He could totally turn into a hyperactive, hyper energy point, you know, super erratic problem point guard.
Sure, he could. Yeah.
And I'm saying it in a good way, like a pot stirring point guard.
Mm-hmm.
In a heartbeat. All it takes is 1.5 games. Right? You come out, waste your. You think about this. Let's go Minnesota.
Okay.
Darius Perry comes into that game. He disrupts. It's a 6-8 game. All of a sudden, Darius Perry gets all disruptive on the defensive end. You go, you do it. You have a, you know, let's say a 17-3 run.
Yeah.
Where Darius Perry's the problem, right? These commentators are talking about, where is this what Louisville is? Then they're going to find out, well, this guy really hadn't been playing much this year, but he's swinging into form, right?
Yeah.
And then your narrative is going to be like, listen, after you end up wasting Minnesota, right? 14-point workmanlike win, right? You're going to, next game, you're going to go, oh, well, they got Malik, you know, got Enoch. They got the double head thing, and the captain of the ship is Christian. But this kid, Darius Perry, in the first round game one against Minnesota, he was the best player on the court.
I think Darius will be the one, too, that will embrace what comes with the tournament. I think what comes with the tournament is, we talked about this a little last week, is extra interviews. What comes with the tournament is locker room kind of open after. What comes with the tournament is shoot
Brighter
around.
Lights.
Yeah, yeah. On Wednesday, shoot around. Oh, fans are here. Cool. You know, other teams fans
kind of ham it up.
All right, cool. Yeah, like I think he could be a guy that can embrace or will. I don't think. I think he will embrace that.
Darius also may be the guy I'm looking for to say, yeah, y'all can get it to the other team.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the guy to throw that first little pot shot over half court.
Yeah.
Nah, we ain't finished yet. You know those little transition moments?
Yeah.
Where the other coaches is waiting. And, you know, usually there's about a six-minute window to where you see the team waiting to get on the court, and you kind of start packing up and dribbling around the side. He may be the type to just stay on the court. And while everybody's walking off the court, he's going to say, no, we still got 98 seconds left.
Yep.
To the team you're about to play.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Just one of those little adjutants, right?
I think it's time to get him in there. So,
Darius, don't have me out here lobbying for you.
And then go out and stink it up.
Blandon, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mama, man?
Hi, Marcus. Hi, Steve.
Hey.
I listen to you fellas daily. I don't call you hardly at all, but I had to call after listening earlier after the show started this morning. And Marcus, I wanted to ask you, please, sir, was you joking earlier when you said minus Kobe off of North Carolina that Louisville has a better roster than North Carolina right now?
We were kind of talking about that. I was debating that with Steve. The point I was making was, like, as far as physical, like, potential, I like my roster. But their experience, like, at a Luke May spot, or, you know, their experience at a Johnson spot is better.
Right. Oh, I understand what you're saying. You know, guys, interesting this year. I commend Coach Mack. I think he's done a very, very good job with what he had to work with this year. But, you know, I've said all year long, this team has drove me crazy because some games we look like we're really turning the corner to become more consistent. And our bigs, when we play someone that's long and athletic, our bigs, we get taken to the woodshed. And I've said it all year long, but I think as the season is ending now, I think the little engine that could is CeCe. If Christian Cunningham goes well, we go well. And I think in the first round game coming up, guys, I don't know who we're going to play, but if he does not play well, we're one and done, in my opinion. I don't think we can win any games in the NCAA without getting a really good productive game out of Cunningham. And when we get that from him, we are so much better as a team. And in closing here, I'd like to ask both of you guys a question. In your all's opinion right now, who is the better college player, Jordan Wara or Luke May right now?
I appreciate the call. Luke.
Luke May, yeah. I mean, yeah.
That was my point with the roster conversation.
Yeah.
Who would I rather have on my team, Jordan Wara? You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like the right tweak, and he's an animal. I feel like his top side is so much higher than Luke May.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'd rather enjoy the fighting process of Jordan Wara than the comfort with the ceiling of Luke May.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, no.
I don't like ceilings.
I mean, yeah, Jordan's the more TV-friendly player, you know, threes, the dunks, all that stuff. I mean, Luke May is just consistent. I mean, you're going to get –
Yeah, like if I'm a coach, I ignore Luke May half the time.
But now Luke May is also a senior. Jordan Wara is a senior. He's going to be, I think, better than Luke May as a senior.
Yeah, I don't even think they're on the same planet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to make that, if I'm making that comparison.
Last commercial break, midday with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe-throwing arenas. Make a night of it, and also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe-throwing arenas.
With Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Again, people, I have to slow down. I have to give big thanks. I have to say, the people who enjoyed our pain and misery last night. And there was a lot of you.
It was a
whole lot of you who enjoyed it. Listen, if you go to my Facebook page, I left it up. If you want to know what a game experience is like, sitting in a studio watching a tournament game with Marcus and Steve, click on it at your own at your own risk. And listen, it's bad. You might have to pardon a little bit of the language. Again, it's on the YouTube channel. It's on the Facebook Live. I got caught in a couple of moments, had a lot of time to calm down and become a radio host again. But you can actually see the difference between watching a game and becoming a radio host.
Well, last night you got a real taste of it because, I mean, we go straight from the game to post-game. You know, it was just like, okay, now.
So if you ever wondered the contrast between Steve and Marcus radio and Stephen Marcus watching the game.
It's like now you got to reel it back in a little bit and it starts to go, okay, what did just I happened? See here? Well, we're going to be doing some more of the radio. Selection Sunday is obviously coming up. As soon as the selection show goes off at 7, because CBS said they're going back to their old format, we're going to come on the air at ESPN 680. Jason Anderson's going to be there from 7 to 10. They're going to have 3 hours of coverage. I know Andy's going to stop in, Locke's going to stop in, a few others are going to be, I'm sure Drew will connect, Mark Ennis, those guys. I'm going to come up, Marcus, I'm sure we can talk him to getting up here, but we'll probably come up a little later, maybe around 9 or so. We'll tweet it out, different stuff.
You know who I would love on this team? Sorry about that.
Who's that?
Joshua Tench. He just sent me a message.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice. I'll take him.
That would be awesome on this team, right?
Yeah, right? So, but we'll be up doing our thing with them, talking about the draw and why we think Louisville is done or going to make a Final Four and different stuff. Then, though, this is where the real fun starts because the next day, Selection Monday, ESPN Louisville Selection Monday at Sports and Social Club and 4th Street Live, presented by Cox's Smokers and Outlet and Spirit Shop. Papa John's Body Armor Sports Drink, which is very good. I had one today. You can join ESPN Louisville all day long on Selection Monday after Selection Sunday at the Sports and Social Club. Come down, fill out a bracket, enjoy free appetizers, giveaways, and free bowling all day long. The grand prize winner is going to win a big green egg from Suntime Pools West in Middletown and Crestwood. Your home for the Big Green Egg Grill in Louisville. There's going to be an on-site free throw shooting contest. I'm going to go down. I'm going to have to participate in it.
I'm going to watch, people.
Yeah.
I'm going to put some pressure on you.
Or I'm just going to go and I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch everybody else shoot free throws. I mean, I'll shoot a couple too.
I'm going to make people tell me their name. Give me your radio name.
Yep.
Before you shoot the free throw.
Yeah. And don't be like, you know, I mean, and I need some government stuff.
Right.
I can't be like, you know, hey, what's your name? You're like, oh, you know,
Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Or you can't be like, oh yeah, you know, at U of L, you know, U of L Tiger 3 or something. Like, no, that's not who you are.
Give me your government name because you're gonna have to call in this show and acknowledge that you just chucked up this free throw.
Yeah.
Before you start, Jordan Words, missing free throws.
And, I know.
Yeah, you do it.
Well, when you do that, we're gonna be giving away other gift cards to be handed out all day from places like Papa John's, Woodview Golf Courts, and Sports and Social Club. That's gonna be Monday. Now on Tuesday again, you're gonna come up. We're gonna do the bracket challenge again, except today on Tuesday. We're going to be at Dave and Buster's all day. You can come out to the new Dave and Buster's at St. Matthew's Mall. Some people were asking about the location. on March 19th, starting at 10 o'clock, to fill out brackets for our ESPN Louisville Challenge, the same prize, the Big Green Egg Grill. We're going to be giving away our hourly prizes, such as a VIP room to Dave and Buster's with you and your closest friends. Then on Friday, we're going to be back at Dave and Buster's for our Play Hooky with ESPN Louisville, where we're going to be watching games all day. So
if you get a VIP room at Dave and Buster's, like, you're awesome.
By the way, I do need to give a quick shout-out to the station. Drew Diener been down in Charlotte all week. Mark Ennis been down in Charlotte, since the tournament started. Those guys, it was impressive to – and as much as I get aggravated with the post games myself.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just – we'll roll with it. I'm fine with it. What song was that?
Cash Money Millionaires.
Okay. That's perfect.
Whoa, Kimo Sabe.
Hey. But man, it was pretty cool to
we were very coordinated. The effort was coordinated.
Yes, and we're one of the I think we're the only sports station that you had sound coming straight from the locker room, sound coming straight from Coach Mack. We had Roy Williams we had Drew Diener sitting there with the Comrex connected in. We could say, "All right, Drew, yeah, let's take Roy for 3 minutes. All right, we're done with that. Let me know when they come up."
It only works like that at passionate stations.
Yeah, I mean that was an incredible thing. We were the only place you got that. So shout out to the station for all the coverage. And moving forward, there's going to be more. So, I mean, if you're a Kentucky fan, they're going to have all that too. I'm not. So the coverage over
Steve,
the next 3 days means nothing to me.
You're a radio show host. You're going to have to start talking Kentucky basketball sooner or later.
No, I don't think I will. Don't think I have to.
Jeez.
Yeah, don't think I have to.
At some point, you're going to have to cross over.
I will. When they lose in a couple weeks, we'll have a blast. It'll be fun.
Steve, some say it's about Louisville. <I know. laughs> It's about togetherness in the Commonwealth.
Steve Rummage. Is that Steve Rummage on KSTV?
I cannot wait. Right.
Down here in Pike County, I'll tell you what, we love the Cats. I swear, that was Steve Rummage.
And that's what people are going to say. Right. Listen. Some kid is going to come in and he's going to be 15 years old. He's going to say, "Oh, I can't wait to get home and listen to Steve Rummage and go catch TV." And his dad is going to say, "Who?
Son, yeah, if you only knew."
Son, who did you just say?
He was great once.
He's going to say, "Dad, this guy, go catch TV. His name is Steven Rummage. He's the best."
Yeah, I know.
Son.
I know. I'm going to be down there.
Sit down for a second.
Just full out. I'll be all in. Just, we love them. Nine. We got eight. Eight championships. Count them. Count them. Yeah. Count them. What's he talking about?
Oh, my God. This is going to be a nightmare the next 10 years.
Oh, no.
Of Steve on Cats TV. So what we'll do, people, is tomorrow, we're going to be talking serious, serious tournament stuff. Or it's Monday, sorry.
Monday,
tomorrow.
You can, but you might be somewhere
else. No, you actually threw me off because I was like, oh, by the way, too, real quick, since we are about to do some things, we do got Barino's Pizza. Thanks to George and Barino's by the Bridge for dropping off some pizzas to the ESPN Louisville Studios. Your spot before and after all U of L hoops games and concerts. Got Hot Wheels Monster Truck live on Saturday. And then you got NCAA tournament games next week. So how about this? NCAA tournament games next week. A bunch of Louisville fans go down there to Barino's by the Bridge and fill the place up so Kentucky fans don't have anywhere to eat. How awesome would that be? Let's all go.
I know.
Let's all go to all the places down there, and we should all go to dinner during the Kentucky games so when they come out of the stadium, they all have nowhere to eat. Wait, it's too long here.
Or eat and listen to me cheer against you.
Yeah.
Let me agitate you while I'm stuffing my face with pepperonis and
salt. Man, to wait so long everywhere. Yeah.
I would, you know what?
Down ones over there. We could go to Sidebar. We go to Troll Pub. We can go to Impala's Aries. We can go to
Barino's. Just go to Barino's.
We'll just pack it out.
Give me some beer and pizza.
I could just streak through Al J's naked. After every game.
You see?
Like y'all don't get to enjoy nothing.
Gets to enjoy.
I'll jump in the bird
conference
cage.
Conference tournament
You know
stuff.
The big bird cage?
Yes.
At Al J's? I'll just sit in there.
No, I don't want people to enjoy tournament right now.
No, I just don't want them to enjoy tournament in Louisville.
Coach Chris Mack spoke following the game. I want you to concentrate on his tone and tell me what you get from it on the YouTube channel. Take it away.
It's nothing that we didn't know coming in, but I thought where the game got out of reach for us early on was because of their transition. I mean, it's phenomenal. As fast as any team I've coached against, and you know, you talk about it, but you know, talking doesn't prepare you sometimes. And you give those guys credit. They were shot out of a cannon. That ball was up the floor in such a hurry and got to the rim. You know, they hit the rim runner a couple times. They get advanced pass threes to Cam Johnson and really, really put us back. And we were never able to recover enough. I give our guys great credit for continuing to fight against one of the elite teams in all of college basketball. But, you know, thought those were the two things that we could have controlled. You know, takes effort, communication to get back in transition, and then it takes effort to keep them off the glass. I thought we passed for the most part that second part of keeping them off the glass, but we didn't do the job that we needed to do in transition. Second half turnovers when we started to cut the margin just killed us.
Questions? First one, middle of the room.
Jerry Eves, coach, you have to be happy with VJ and Darius Perry's progress going into the tournament. You really got bench punch now. How does that make you feel?
Great. I mean, I thought, you know, I thought for the better part of both games, a lot of guys stepped up. And hasn't always been easy for Darius and VJ throughout the year. But they really gave our team a shot in the arm. I thought they did great things on both ends of the floor. And hopefully they gained a lot of personal confidence. We're going to need to be a deep team, and if we expect to make any type of run in tournament play.
To our left.
Bob Holliday, WRL.com. Coach, you did a great job of keeping them out of transition in Chapel Hill, and if I remember the Louisville game, you made him play a lot of half-court offense in that game as well. What was different tonight? And then I'd ask specifically, what part did Kenny Williams' defensive pressure early play in getting them to, you know, some turnovers and to get the break going?
It's hard to say what they did better other than, you know, Roy did something to get those guys shot out of a cannon. And I remember years ago when he coached Kansas against Marquette, I believe, in the Final Four in New Orleans. And I don't know if I've ever seen a team play as fast that day as they did until today. I mean, the floor was tilted. Even on made shots, we could not get back. And we ended up adjusting. Instead of sending three guys to the offensive glass, we ended up sending two, and we haven't done that one time all year in both games that we played Carolina. So I think it was more, you know, them trying to swing a knockout punch early and play downhill. And Kobe White made the right decision each and every time, whether it was an advanced pass to Cam Johnson, whether it was to Brooks underneath. I mean, even when Malik got his first foul of the game, it was in transition right under the restricted arc. So they're a load when they play that quickly. You know, and not just Kenny Williams, but all those guys, I thought, you know, were very, very handsy. They pressured our guards. They did a really good job on ball screen coverage for the most part. And they have terrific length and great anticipation. And while we took care of the ball well in the first half, we certainly didn't do it well enough in the second half to give ourselves a chance to cut the margin even further.
Drew Diener, ESPN Louisville. Coach, when you guys will see some new faces in the NCAA tournament, do you think this team will thrive against, you know, the grind of the ACC that you've been through? Will that help you when you get the NCAAs?
Drew, I told these guys in the locker room that we've played the best teams in the country. I mean, there's a reason that, you know, you all are talking about a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. A possibility of three number one seeds. And it's incredible. And even if they don't get three, even if we don't, our league doesn't get three number one seeds, it just shows you the quality of basketball that we have. And so, yeah, it beats you up. And they're extremely talented and well coached. It's the best conference in the country, in my opinion. But you know, every game in the tournament is going to be difficult. Every single one. Now, hopefully, our guys understand that when we do the things that we can control, we'll give ourselves a chance to win against anybody.
Question for Dwayne. After their early surge, I think they were up 16, something like that, maybe 18. You guys came roaring back. You got a lot of transition, got the lead down to one, hit a lot of – you hit several threes in there. What was going well during that phase of the game, and why weren't you able to sustain it?
I think our energy picked up throughout that stretch. We did a good job of rebounding the ball during that stretch and pushing the tempo ourselves, but I think we made some mental mistakes, and they ended up, I think, getting the lead back to around 10 at that point. But I think we did a good job of cutting the lead at that point.
Eric Crawford, WDRB. Chris, you talk about things you can control. What one or two things in this game would you really like to have maybe had a little bit better handle on than you did?
Well, I think those two. Transition defense early on, I thought we did a much better job. When we weren't giving live ball turnovers in the second half, I thought we did a much better job of getting matched up and making it more five-on-five. And they're still terrific in the half court. I mean, Luke May is a tough matchup for anybody. You know, Cam Johnson is so efficient. He doesn't waste any time on the floor. When he's open, he shoots. When he's not, he doesn't. But if we could have boxed them in and made them play a little bit half court more in the first half. In the second half, we had too many turnovers. And that's what went from about a 10-point, 11-point margin where, hey, we got a fighter's chance to get this to a couple possessions game if we handle ourselves. And we turned the ball over. And that wasn't a trait of ours the first 30 minutes, but it was the last 10.